So hi folks, hello once again, and you're very welcome along to another programme, to another edition of Down Your Way. We're here in South Dakota County this week. We're in a beautiful garden centre here in Clonmel. Linda's with me. How are you doing, Linda?
Hello, Eamon. How are you?
You're the horticulturalist here.
I am, yes. Welcome to Clonmel Garden Centre. It's great to have you here today.
It's a fantastic place.
Yes, it is.
My first time around here and just magic.
Okay, we can show you around. I have lots to see and do here.
Yeah. So many people nowadays, you know, have turn their attention maybe to growing their own seeds, growing their own potatoes. We're going to be talking about all that later on. But
yes, particularly since the COVID pandemic, lots of people have moved over to growing their own and they became interested in it. Mm-hmm. So as a result then we found it much more busy in the garden centre. Mm-hmm. Particularly we find that people are interested in organic growing, and we do have a range of organic seeds. Mm-hmm. And we also have the option of controlling pests and diseases with organic products that are on our shelves over there.
Okay, so we're going to look around the garden centre and all of that. Tell me about the garden centre. How long is it here?
This is a second generation family run garden centre. It's been here for approximately 30 years. Chris Hanna is the current owner of the garden centre. His parents started it. It's on about 6 acres. We have maybe 2 acres of retail space, and the rest of it's pleasure gardens and car park.
Okay. Yeah. So you people to come along here and walk around and get advice on what to do, is that it?
Yep, that's it. You're welcome up here any time to get advice, have a walk around. We have plenty to see up here. We have a playground for the children. This is a plants garden centre, so we have lots of plants, a huge range. We also have seeds, barbecues, tunnels and furniture.
Okay, so all the bits and pieces that go with the garden centre, you know, you have it all?
We have it all here, yep. You're more than welcome up any time.
Okay, so now you're going to take me on tour of this garden centre today, and there's lots to be said and lots to be talked about.
There is, Eamon. We might start in the undercover area where we have all the seeds and where we have the vegetable plants. I can take you there first.
They're actually right behind us here. I'm looking at unreal tasty peas and beans. Do people actually sow peas?
Absolutely, yeah. Couldn't be nicer to pick your own fresh peas. Very easy to grow. You don't need a huge amount of space because they are climbing plants. You can grow them in a bed, you can grow them in a bucket. It doesn't matter. They can go in the tunnel and they can go outside. Absolutely simple to plant, and as I say, don't need much space.
Yeah. And of course, planting them is just putting in the seed, but you need the right type of soil, don't you?
Yeah, most vegetables like a soil that is clay loamy, and that it would be around the neutral in the pH. So popping them into the ground and just leave nature do its thing. They will need support to climb up, and just a bit of a feed.
Okay, yep. So when you're talking about a feed, just chemical again, is it?
No, we would prefer to give you something in the organic range. So something like the chicken pellets, or we have fish blood and bone meal. We have lots of organic feed. We also have farmyard manure that you could use.
Okay, so and then we just move along here. The problem that I have, it's the very next stall we're in. It's carrots. It's very difficult to grow carrots. I have found it.
Yes, Eamon. Sometimes people give up on them, and it's usually to do with the preparation of the soil. So preparation is everything with carrots. So having a very well-dug, fine tilth is terribly important for carrots, because if the ground is hard and stony, the carrots tend to split and you end up with loads of little legs on them. Also, they don't like the ground freshly fertilised. So if you are growing vegetables, have your carrots following your potatoes in your rotation of your crops.
Okay. So tell me, the lot of little legs, I found them that it even frightened you to look at them.
Yeah.
No, but that is the truth.
Yes, that is. You know, we're conditioned to have straight carrots from our supermarkets. Yeah. Absolutely nothing wrong with a carrot that has a few legs on it. It will taste exactly the same, yeah, and probably nicer because you've grown it yourself.
But I've tried it all ends up. I've tried every stunt in the book, really, for the most part.
Okay.
And it still won't grow right.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Have you done all those things that I've suggested?
Close enough to it.
Okay, maybe close enough isn't good, isn't, you know,
okay,
perfect. But yeah, so if you do those things, a very fine tilt, sow them very, very thinly so that you're not disturbing them. They don't like their roots disturbed. So remove all the stones and lumps from the ground and pop them in really thinly. And yeah, as I say, don't put any fresh fertilizer on them.
The other side of it is, I suppose, how near and how close apart?
Well, because they're a very tiny seed, it's very difficult to get them really far apart. So as best you can, sow them really thinly, and then you can thin them out then, and you can leave probably 3 inches between each carrot to allow them to develop, that they're not disturbed by their neighbour.
All right, okay.
Yeah.
So, and then you have to keep away from the weeds and all of that. You have to keep them out of the place.
Yes, absolutely. You don't want any competition with weeds, and that goes with any of the vegetables, really.
I suppose the same family from carrots would be parsnips as well. They're the same type of family, aren't they?
Yeah, but they don't tend to suffer as much like from the distortion in the soil. But again, give them a free run in nice, fine, tilt soil.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
So we move on along. There's lots of, here's where the organic end of the setup is here. Absolutely a fantastic array of seeds and all of that. This is in the seed department we're in here now.
Yes, so we have a huge range, 2 different suppliers for seeds. So we have a nice range of organic seed there. There's plenty of vegetables and herbs in the organic range. So if you want to be totally organic, there's something available for everybody.
For the most part, organic, no fertilizer. Is that what we're talking about?
No. Organic means that no chemicals have been used in the production of these seed. So there's no chemicals, pesticides, herbicides, anything at all like that. And if you're organic, you don't use any of those things. You keep away from them because they are harmful to the environment. And really, we want to move away from using all of those.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And right behind you is where we're growing tomatoes. Oh, where the tomato seeds are here.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the most important and popular vegetables for people to grow. Again, nothing like the taste of homegrown tomatoes. You can grow them preferably inside in a tunnel in Ireland because we don't really have the summers for them. Occasionally we do, and you can grow them outside if you do have a sunny shelter position. So again, start off from seed, and they're quite successful from seed. There's all different types. You can go from big, huge beefsteak tomatoes down to the smallest little cherry tomatoes, and again all different colours in them, and unbelievable difference in the flavour of a homegrown tomato to a shop bought one.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The other side, of course, that the small miniature ones are absolutely gorgeous.
Absolutely, yeah. As I say, everyone has their favourites. Gardener's Delight, the little red one, would probably be one of the most popular ones, and maybe Sun Gold for the yellow ones. And Sun Gold's very good in a tunnel or in a greenhouse. Yeah.
Big part of course, growing your own seeds and all of that, or sowing your own seeds rather, is the flowers. And a lot of ladies would be interested to find out about how to grow flowers and the great love of flowers and all that kind of thing.
Yes, Eamon. We have here a wide range of annual and perennial plants in seeds. So anybody who's interested in growing seeds, say to do their own containers and that, we would have a huge range. So anything from the trailing petunias to marigolds can all be started by seed.
Okay.
Absolutely no problem. And then we have, there are some perennials here as well. So these are the ones that come back every year. So the likes of your delphiniums, lupins, all of those, dianthus, they're all available in seeds as well.
Absolutely. Look, yeah. You have absolutely trays and whole wallfuls of seeds and all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, in every single colour that you could possibly want. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we also have a full range of wildflower seeds, and they come in small packs for small little areas or containers. And we have them in boxes then as well for larger areas.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Terrific.
This time of year is the perfect time of year to put in your wildflower seeds. Yeah.
Well, we're here in South Dakota County this week at the really beautiful garden centre here in Clonmel. Indeed, you're very welcome back to Down Your Way. I'm in Clonmel this week in a beautiful garden centre. Linda's with me, the horticulturist here. Linda, we've moved out kind of half outdoor at the minute to the herbaceous.
Yes, Eamon. So the herbaceous or perennials are the plants that give you the flowers mostly. Mm-hmm. So they're the ones, they mostly disappear for the winter and come back up again every spring. So there's a huge range of them, and we have quite a vast range in stock at the moment. And they're itemised here A to a Z, so it's easy to find them. So we can just maybe, Eamon, have a little walk through them, and I can show you some of the highlights of what we have. One of the most popular ones would be Agapanthus, which is a plant from South Africa. Quite a beautiful plant. It comes in all different shades of blues and purples and white. A tall plant with a ball of flowers at the top of it. Extremely popular in Ireland and grows very well here. Okay. So we've lots of different colours in that. Down here we have the elephant's ears. It's an evergreen with a pink flower. Great ground cover, good for keeping down weeds.
Okay, really covered in. Yeah. No, just before, just the weather we're having this year, it's been very difficult for sown plants and for people to get out in their garden. What are people to do?
Okay, so yeah, you're absolutely quite correct on that. I suppose all we can do is wait and hope that the weather comes good. So once we get a couple of dry days, particularly if it's windy, the soil will dry out quickly. It's not a good idea to be digging and messing around in the soil when it's really wet, because it's bad for the soil structure. But, you know, it will come good. I think we have indications that the weather is coming good. So you will be able to get out, I think, this weekend to do some planting and tidying up on that. Yeah, absolutely.
What do people sow in the tunnel?
Oh, sure. I suppose, Eamon, it's mostly the vegetables for most people. And then you will have people who like the flowers and they'll just do all flowers in it. But it would be mostly vegetables, yeah. So the perennials and that are generally outside for your beds and borders. Some of them are suited to pots and that, but usually it's beds and borders.
Okay. Yeah. Tunnel, I suppose, for the most part, is an easier way of doing the job. You're in out of the rain.
Yeah, absolutely. It means that your gardening hobby can be all year round if you have a tunnel. It's fantastic because you can be out there in January if you want to be pottering around. Lots of people do the seeds and the cuttings and all that over the winter and use maybe the tunnel then for the vegetables during the summertime.
Yeah, I know lots of people just buy the seeds and they grow all their own stuff, right?
Yeah, fantastic, yeah.
Kind of the rear of their own flowers, if you know what I mean.
Yes, absolutely, and it's a great skill to learn, you know, and it's a very economical way of gardening.
Okay, yeah. Okay, we move along here.
Okay, yeah. We're just moving down now through some more of the perennials here. Very popular perennials are the salvias. They flower for a long time. And again, they come in those purples and whites. Fantastic flowering plant. Flowers generally from about May right through till about September time.
Okay.
There's, all different range of colours of purples and pinks in it and white.
Yeah, it's a fabulous collection.
Poppies then. We have poppies here, the big oriental ones with the big fluffy heads. They're extremely popular as well. The plants can get quite sizable and unbelievable range of bright colours in them.
We've moved on to the trees. Absolutely a fabulous amount of trees. There must be close to an acre of trees here.
Yeah, maybe not quite that many, but we probably have about 300 trees here, and probably another 150 or 200 on the fruit side, on my right-hand side.
Okay.
So, yeah, so we have a very wide range of trees. We have, again, they're all in alphabetical, easy to find them. We've everything from a silver birch through to a cherry tree, mountain ash, you name it, we'll have it here.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what's so special about all the different grades of trees?
I suppose going forward, Eamon, and trees have become extremely important because, as we know, there's a huge loss of trees throughout the world, and it's affecting climate change. So we would encourage people to plant plenty of trees in their garden. So obviously native would be the best to plant, and there is a space for that, but you can't beat some of the ornamentals, particularly the cherries at this time of the year. They're in all their glory, and we do have a good range of cherry trees there. The crab apples, absolutely fantastic for the pollinators and then feeding the birds at the back end of the year, so they should be considered as well. We have some of the white thorn that have the pink flower, again fairly native and good for the pollinators and feeding the birds. So there's absolutely a tree for every situation. There's no problem in choosing a tree for any size garden or any situation.
Tell us about planting the tree. What's required?
Okay, so when you're planting a tree, you dig the hole twice the size of the pot, so that it gives free run for the roots to get into your soil. It's terribly important to stake a tree and tree tie it, particularly in the windy conditions now that we have here in Ireland. So you dig the hole, the stake goes in on the westerly side of the tree. Most of our wind comes from the west, and it blows the tree away from the stake and not into it, causing it damage. And you tie the tree about a third of the way up. So this is stabilizing the roots in the ground, and you have to allow the tree to move at the top, and that forces the roots to be stronger in the soil, then supporting the tree. Mm-hmm. So Eamon, after 3 years then you take away the stake. You want the tree to rely on its own root system for stability and not on the stake.
So tell me, to keep it safe, if just animals come in around the place and stuff like that?
It's very difficult to protect them from deer, but certainly there's a guard around them that prevent them from being eaten by hares and rabbits.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you need a couple of stakes and kind of fence it in, if you know what I mean. You know the way
You can do that. But one stake is usually sufficient for the size of, for garden centre size trees. When you're getting into bigger trees, you probably do need more stakes put into it at the time. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the most popular tree around here?
Probably the cherry, without a doubt. And silver birch would be terribly popular as well. And mountain ash, yeah. Okay. So they're very easy to grow. The cherry likes a bit of shelter, and that's just to protect the blossom. But the other trees are bomb-proof, and they can go anywhere.
Is it easy to grow trees?
Absolutely. They're the least amount of work that you'll have to do in the garden. You plant it and that's it. You just leave trees off. The shrubs are probably maintenance twice a year. The perennials are once a month. And then the annuals then are once a week.
People that sow apple trees, and I heard of one or two people sowing apple trees, they'd have to sow a tree together. Is that some rumour, or is that only just a...
No rumour. That's the truth. So there are apple trees need pollinating partners. So some apple trees need themselves and two others. So that is correct. They would need three then to go in. But most of them just need themselves and one other. And they have to be two different varieties. And they have to be in the apple family. So in theory, you could have an eating apple and you could have a crab apple in your garden. And they will cross-pollinate each other. Okay. Yeah. So the same two trees, so if you had apple Katie, they won't pollinate. If you have two of them, they won't pollinate each other. You need two different ones.
So how did they go about pollinating each other? How was that done?
The bees.
Okay.
Yeah, the bees. So the bees fly from flower to flower, and they drop the pollen then onto the flowers from the different varieties.
Okay.
So that's how it works, yeah. Lots of fruit is the same, Eamon, so yeah.
So it wasn't just a rumour I heard in?
No, it's the truth. It's the truth, yeah, absolutely.
So when you buy one, you get two free, is that it?
That's a rumour.
Okay, very good. We're going to take another break and a break from music. A few weeks ago, we were down in Solihull, and Johnny Cullen was on standby. He sounds like this.
He looked out into the brown eyes. He should say a prayer for me. He threw her arms around him, prayed that God would keep us free. For the head rider's coming, he said, this is my last fight. If they take me back to Texas, they won't take me back alive. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lovers in the valley of the gun. When the wrath of smoke had ended, there was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. She reached down for the gun at the smoke in his hand. She said, Father, please forgive me, can't make it without my man. For she knew the gun was empty. She knew goodwill. Her final prayer for answer when the rifles fired again. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lover in the valley of the gun. When the wrath of smoke had ended, it was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. There were seven Spanish angels at the altar of the sun. They were praying for the lover in the valley of the gun. When the rifle smoke had ended, it was thunder from the throne. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home. Seven Spanish angels took another angel home.
Beautiful Tony Cullen joining us on Down Your Way. Thanks, Tony. Indeed, you're very welcome back to Down Your Way. Linda's still with me. Bedding plants, very talked about this time of year.
Yes, Eamon, this is the time of the year that they kick off. So the first thing to always remember with them is that a lot of them are frost tender. So if you do start them off, it's early in the season, you need to be mindful of frost. They can absolutely be left out during the day and maybe brought in at night if it's going to be cold. So, yeah, extremely popular. They've taken off hugely in the last 10 or 15 years, and you'll find lots and lots of bedding plants hanging out of window boxes and hanging baskets on every second house in the country. So there's kind of a bit of a recipe for doing them. So usually you have a plant in the middle, and that's your thriller plant. And then you use the hanging plants. They're your spillers. They hang out over the sides of it. And then to fill in the gaps, then we have our fillers, which are the ones that just kind of bush out. They're all designed to flower for about 4 to 5 months. And that's entirely depending on how they are treated by the homeowner. Mm-hmm. So you can buy all these plants in here and you can put them into a container. And if you don't water and feed them, they won't last very long. It's all in the watering and feeding. So you can have a spectacular display right through from May right through till September, and provided that they are watered and fed sufficiently.
Can you water kind of too much?
Yes, you can. Absolutely, you can. Usually with the hanging baskets, it does run out fairly freely out of it, and it just the compost is designed just to hold what's needed. And it all depends then on the weather. So if the basket is already wet and you keep watering it, yes, you can end up rotting the plants. So you do have to let it dry out a little bit anyway, and then water it again. Mostly in the summer, the baskets and that would need it usually daily. Window boxes, yeah, daily.
Yeah. So it's always a difficult time. Is it difficult to know what mixtures to put in?
With regard to matching up the plants. No, you can, it's quite simple actually. You could pick one colour and stick to that, so long as you get the plant in the centre for the bit of the height, and you get the ones that hang down, and then the fillers, like, so you can mix. If you're looking at this, you pick what you like to look at. It's the way you arrange them in the pot, it makes the difference. Okay.
You take out the warm summer we had last summer.
Yes.
Usually warm June. Not too much water you put on plants.
Yes,
probably
you may,
wasn't enough.
You may have found that you might need to have watered twice in the day, depending on where you are. Now, if you're in a particularly windy spot as well, between the sun and the wind, that really dries the plants out. So the wind moving over the plant draws moisture out of it. So you would need to be mindful of containers in windy positions.
What's the best time of day to water plants?
Okay, so you're better off to water, say, before 10 o'clock in the morning or after 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Okay, there's less evaporation from the soil and from the plants at that time. Okay, but don't water too late, because you do need the plants to dry out. So in the summertime, probably don't water any later than maybe 6 or 7 o'clock in the evening.
I haven't saw people watering at 9 or 10 o'clock in the night.
Yeah, and I suppose, you know, people are working, people are busy, they may forget. So it's better to water than just to not, because of the time of day. So you ask me for the best times and that's them, but you water when you can. Usually try and avoid around midday, because you'll end up burning the plants if the sun is really hot.
Tell me, what do you mix through it, you know, at times that you have to...
Okay, so
fertilizer therapy.
Yeah, so as I said, it's really important to feed these, because they flower so much. They are very hungry plants, so feeding them with a high potash feed is required to maintain good flowering on these. So that can be done three ways. So you can incorporate a slow release fertilizer in the compost when you're making the container, and that will feed it for about 4 to 6 months. You can add a granular feed to it, or you can make up a liquid feed and feed it to them every week when you're watering then, and the once a week. Pick one day and do it that, so you don't forget it.
Okay,
you can also add water-retaining granules to the compost when you're planting, and that helps to retain moisture and cuts down on the amount of waste water.
Okay, that's very important. It takes a lot of water.
It does, yeah. So we do need to be careful about that as well, because we don't want to end up with a hose pipe ban. So if you can use rainwater, if there's any way of collecting rainwater and use that for this job. Mm-hmm. So any waste water. So, I mean, if you've rinsed off your potatoes in the sink or whatever, collect the water and use that to water your plants. Don't waste it by putting it down the drain.
Another thing that's kind of important is making your own compost. Or I hear about it now and again.
Eamon, there's an awful lot of waste food going into landfill when that could actually be composted down. So anything raw in that, you can compost in a regular compost bin. And we do have a bin called the hot bin that cooked food can go into and be composted down. So that works very well. And you can, in actual fact, put meat into that. Mm-hmm. So reducing the amount of waste that goes to landfill is obviously better for the environment. And the compost that's made then can be used. You can use it out in the garden, you can use it in the containers, and it is a feed and a good soil conditioner as well. So collecting leaves in the autumn time and composting them down is a fantastic soil conditioner. It takes a couple of years for them to break down, but there's nothing better than that.
It's nearly a full-time job.
Yeah, it can be, but it's absolutely a fantastic hobby to have, you know. It's really good for your physical and mental well-being as well. It's terribly important to keep moving, and as we get older, we know this. So even out in the garden, digging, raking, you're bending, you're lifting, you're carrying, like all those muscles that you wouldn't use, like if you're just sitting in front of Netflix for the day. So, and it's proven, like, that having the sun on your back and being out in the fresh air is really good for our mental health.
Okay.
So absolutely fantastic hobby, and as I say, it can be all year round.
Absolutely. Linda, we have covered, I suppose, most of the flowers and the shrubs and the trees and all of that, but lawns is a particular subject that people would like to hear your ideas on, and moss in lawns and all the rest.
Yes, Eamon, one of the biggest bugbears for people, I suppose, is moss in their lawns, and we get lots of questions about that. So there are a couple of ways of treating the moss that's already on your lawn, but there's also ways that you can help decrease the instances of it. Mm-hmm. So
just before you link into that,
yeah,
where did the moss come out of in the first place?
Well, moss is as a result of can be as a result of wet soil. It can be a result of shaded areas, and also it's compaction in the ground and people cutting their grass too short. So that's how the main reasons why it occurs in the grass. And with our country being as wet as it is, it's really conducive for the growth of moss.
So how can people, if they have a mossy lawn and stuff like that, okay, there's treatments, and we're looking at them now.
Yeah, so there's a few different treatments for it. So we've a chemical treatment. It's an all-in-one, and it actually kills the moss and it kills the weeds and feeds the grass. So that's a granular one, and you put that out. So around this time of the year, you try and get it out before the middle of May, before moss releases all its seeds. So that's usually the best time. But this year, with the way the weather has been, it may not have been possible to do that. We also have a product called Moss Master, and that literally eats the moss and returns it as a fertilizer to the grass. So it doesn't turn it black. You don't have to rake it out. You just spread this Moss Master on it, and it naturally reduces the moss. Mm-hmm. So really controlling moss in Ireland is really a twice a year job for most people. But if you can increase drainage in your lawn, don't cut the grass too short. The grass should never be white after you've cut it. You're cutting it too short, and the moss then gets a hold and it kills off the grass. Mm-hmm. So you may find that you have nothing but moss on your grass. So really, it's nearly a reseeding job at that stage.
Okay.
Yeah.
So how do you go about reseeding?
Ideally, it should all be ploughed up, rotivated, all the stones buried or picked off of it. Make sure that it is levelled. It should be rolled and levelled. The seed planted, rolled again, and make sure that it gets water on it then.
It's needed like a new lawn for the most part,
absolutely,
isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah. It you can throw down grass seed, but it won't all necessarily take because of all the roots and compaction of the ground and all of that. You might find that the weeds and the moss come back quicker than the grass. Again, they may take, but you're better off. If it's only a few patches, you can just use a rake or something to, mm-hmm. to scuff up the soil and put the seed down on it then. But mm-hmm. if it's everywhere, it really, you know, to be a good lawn, you'd nearly need to start again.
I'm here in Clonmel this week. We're going to take another break. We're back with our final part of Down Your Way, just after these. Indeed, you're very welcome back to Down Your Way. We're at the final part of the programme. We're here in Clonmel, a beautiful garden centre. Linda's still with me. Linda, we're down here at the tools that you require for the trade and to get all the stuff worked out. You have a massive range of tools here.
Yes, Eamon. We've a few different suppliers for tools here. My particular favourite one is the Wolf Garden range. They're German made, so they're extremely sturdy, and like any tool, if you mind it, it'll last you for years. Okay. So some of these tools in the Wolf Garden range have a 35-year guarantee on them. So we've everything from a seed sowing tool to a hoe. So the way this system works is that you have one or two handles, and then you buy all the different heads, and you can have the full range of tools with just one or two handles.
Yeah, what an idea.
Yeah. So I know, Eamon, you're particularly interested in the seed sowing one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's just a little wheel.
You don't have to go down on your knees and.
No, you don't. Absolutely not. So it's a little wheel that can be attached to a handle, and you can set it to put any size seed through it. So it spaces them out exactly in the drills that you're planting them. So you don't need to be having seeds in your hand and bending down and trying to get them in the right place, and maybe two going into one spot and nothing going into some other spot. So yeah, very, very handy tool to have, very easy to use.
And of course, you don't even have to stoop low because you have a handle for it.
Exactly, yeah. And you can put a short handle in on it if you want to, but we do have different long handles, yeah. So absolutely, you don't have to bend down.
Have you worked this tool, have you?
Yes, I have, yeah. Very easy to work, very easy to work.
No, I mean, it is a successful piece of equipment.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And the instructions are all inside in it. It tells you what to do in the little instruction book inside of it. And one of the biggest bonuses on this particular range of tools is that they are red. So you're not going to lose these in your compost bin, in your compost bucket, or on your compost heap, or in the garden. You'll always see them. They're fantastic and very strong range of tools.
Tell me, what the people that buy those tools, they come back to you and say, yeah, good job,
yes,
medium job or whatever?
No, absolutely. I find people come back, they'll buy one or two heads and with a handle, and then they'll come back and they will buy the other thing, the other parts for it. So you can get a rake, you can get hose, you can get digging tools, digging forks. So it absolutely covers everything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Super, super range, yeah.
Super range, yeah. Well, I have to go through my troubles to see what else it does, but the seeds are the very important one for me.
Yeah, so now you know how to use it, Eamon.
Yeah.
So yeah. We can have a look at the secateurs here. They're another one that I get asked lots of questions about. So generally, to make sure that you're picking the right secateurs for what you're actually cutting. So some of them will only cut maybe 15 or 20 mil diameter branches and plants. So if you want something like a little bit stronger than that, you need to go for the 20 or 25 mil one. Mm-hmm. So if you're just deadheading roses in that, 15 mil is fine. But if you're actually pruning shrubs and stuff, you need something that's a little bit thicker, that will cut a little bit thicker. And also to remember that if you overuse the secateurs or the loppers or any of those, you'll end up bending it. It'll never cut properly for you. And then you end up possibly with a plant then that a disease can get into because it doesn't have a clean cut on it. So it's important not to overcut with it, and it's important to keep it clean and well sharpened. Okay. And like all the tools, keep them out of the weather. They'll last you for years if you don't leave them out in the weather rusting and rotting. So, okay. Yeah.
I know there's lots of tools and lots of bits and pieces, but something I think we forgot to mention when we were chatting was about roses. I know it's a part of the furniture in the garden as well, in the sense of beautiful, beautiful shrubs.
Yeah, absolutely. Extremely popular. Have been for millennium now, I'd say, at this mm-hmm. stage now. Everybody loves roses. So there's a little bit of work involved with them, but the rewards are well worth it. So get your roses planted early in this year. They should be planted really in the winter time, but when it's in a pot, it can be planted at any time. So lots of feeding for roses. They're very hungry plants. Deadheading then will keep them flowering the whole summer for you and keep them healthy as well. So good feeding is half the battle with controlling any of those pests and diseases that are on roses, like aphids and black spot.
Okay.
No, exactly. So like if you're just deadheading in that, you can use the secateur. So then if you need to reach in to cut any of the harder stems, you can use a loppers, which is a longer handle. And also wear the proper gloves. There are gloves that are designed like so that you can clip roses and that you're not getting scratched by them.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's very important, isn't it?
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and there are lots of bits and pieces. We could go through them all, the dozens and dozens of different shapes.
Yeah, and some people find it easier to work different types of hose than other, you know. There's so many in the hose, even just in the range of hose, you know. And again, it's what works well for you.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. One of the features of, I suppose, many people that look after their plants around the county and all over the country, I suppose, it's a garden tunnel. And we're here in one of them now. Linda, great idea.
Yeah, absolutely fantastic, Eamon. You know yourself with the weather that we've been having, and if you have a tunnel or a glass house, you can go out and you can be gardening away without worrying about the weather. So, and even it's just fantastic to have, you can do your vegetables in it, you can protect your overwinter your plants in it, you can sit in it and have a cup of coffee in the middle of winter. It is fantastic. And it's a real addition to any gardener. So here in the garden centre, we have these polycarbonate ones, and they're well suited to our climate now with all this windy, stormy weather. So they're very strongly held in the ground. You should have no bother with them, and it's polycarbonate, so it doesn't flap or anything like the plastic does. So we have quite a range of different shapes of them here now. Most of them are 3 meters wide, and you can have any length of them that you like. So starting out, I always advise people to site it in an area that if they want to extend it, that they can, that they've left space for it, because you can take off either end and it can be extended out. So for beginners who may be daunted, They might only start with a small one, but once they get into it, then they realise that they could do it more space. And with this range, you can do that. It's fantastic for that.
So tell me, what actually can you grow in this tunnel?
Well, anything. You can grow flowers in here. You can grow vegetables in here. You can do all your seeds and cuttings in under protection. As I say, you can overwinter your tender plants from the, you know, protect them from the weather over the winter. So yeah, it's fantastic. It's a great addition to garden.
What happens in frosty weather? Do you need to cover your plants?
Not necessarily. The tunnel will give you extra protection. But if you have really tender stuff, I probably would advise covering it in the tunnel. Those two really bad winters that we have, no tunnel would have protected any of those plants. You know, they would have needed to be wrapped, mm-hmm. Yeah, or heat put into the tunnel, yeah. Some way.
So what advice do you give again for people that are thinking of buying a tunnel?
Just make sure that you site it in the right location, that it's accessible for you, that it isn't sitting on level ground, that it's not sitting in a wet area, you know, that you can use it, you know, that's easy for you to use it.
What about boxes in a tunnel? Are they an advantage?
So you can get raised beds to put in, and so obviously then, if it's easier for you to work at a raised level, absolutely you can put them in. Now the downside of having them too high is that you need height for tomatoes. So you could do maybe one side with the raised, and you could leave the other side maybe with no raised beds, and that'll give you the option for growing things like tomatoes and cucumbers, the ones that get taller. But the other one, then you can bring it up to a height that's more suited to your ability, we'll say.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it can be very handy, like if you shove it on an edge or whatever.
Absolutely.
You know, right at your hand.
Yes, absolutely. And it gives you the option to garden, because otherwise you may not do it if it's too hard for you. Mm-hmm. So absolutely fantastic for that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, look, Linda, it's a real pleasure to have you on the programme, and indeed to be down here in Clonmel.
Thank you, Eamon. Yes.
Terrific. And good gardening for the rest of the day. You have your own garden, I presume?
Oh, I do, yeah. Plenty to do in it. So, yeah. I'll be busy for the summer if it ever kicks off. Yeah, absolutely.
The other side of the course, we didn't mention, how do you deal with weeds?
So obviously... an ongoing problem everywhere.
Everywhere.
So, yeah. So I suppose digging them out is probably the best, you know, the most organic way to do it, mm-hmm. Right? Covering the soil with cardboard and maybe some of that black weed suppressant, mm-hmm. is a good way to control them as well. Okay. So thick mulch on the ground, a good way of controlling them as well. So your garden compost, a good 3 or 4 inch layer on it helps to reduce the incidence of weeds.
You need room for your plants as well. This is all about growing plants, not weeds.
Yeah, absolutely. So planting densely the ornamental plants helps to cut down on the weeds as well, because if the light is blocked out to them, they shouldn't come up through them.
Okay.
But it's always, you need to be vigilant. There'll always be weeds.
Nice to be with us.
Yeah. Thanks a million, Eamon. Yeah, great.
So that's our programme for this week. My thanks to all our guests on this week's programme. Don't forget, we'll be back with another edition of Down Your Way at the same time next week. From all of us on the programme, have a very good week. Bye-bye.